Good morning, everyone. I trust you've all had a blessed weekend in the sure hands of our living Lord and Saviour. On Friday, we took a perhaps unusual, imaginative approach to Psalm 90, placing this prayer of Moses, the man of God, into context, and then listening to the prayer in its entirety. I am sure you noticed the incredible richness of the psalm. Many volumes have been written on this psalm by generations of commentators, scholars, and pastors. The magnificence and the enduring relevance of God's word to every age is just so clear. In examining the prayer of Moses in more detail today, we don't have time to look at every line and thought. But I commend to you Spurgeon's Treasury of David, or Calvin's Heart Aflame, as some amongst many works which can further enrich the blessings you can derive from this psalm. In our present-day context of the global COVID pandemic, which is a source of considerable fear amongst us all, I want to draw your attention to three aspects of Moses' prayer, since they have particular bearing upon us right now. But before we do that, note that although the psalm is very naturally read from start to finish as a smoothly flowing thought stream, as you would have experienced from part one of this devotion, there is a sense in which you can divide it into two broad themes. 1. From verses 1 to 12, Moses contrasts the eternity of God to the finite nature of man. And 2. In verses 13 to the end, Moses responds to the otherwise inevitable total despair when eternal divine holiness stands next to finite human sinfulness. He does this by calling out to the Lord, Yahweh, in verse 13, and appealing to his grace and mercy for the future. So let's start with theme 1, the comparison of God's infinity with our finiteness. Firstly, Moses anchors the wandering and wayward nation of Israel, and by extension, the church throughout history, in the fact that the Lord is our true dwelling place throughout all generations. And he testifies with the splendor of the heavens and earth that the principal reason that this anchoring is rock solid is because of the fundamental existence of God outside and above creation. I just love the phrase, "From everlasting to everlasting, you are God," in verse 2. It declares God's eternal and unchanging nature. This is a firm foundation for real hope in trials, temptations, and human failure. Remember, of course, that Moses prayed this in the context of a nation under severe judgment and a generation under irreversible sentence of death in the desert. And it pertains just as much in pandemics and the trials of this life in 2020. If you want to hear this eternal declaration exclaimed magnificently in music, I commend to you the song Amen by the group I Am They, where the phrase rings out in the bridge, "From everlasting to everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting." What an awesome God we serve. Moses immediately goes on in verses 3 to 12 to confess to God by a number of metaphors the second point I want to highlight. We mortals are just dust in the scales of time. Moses has experienced the returning to dust of many in his generation, and he knows he too will suffer the same fate soon. And he emphasizes the speed of decline and desperation of our human plight in the face of our fallen nature. Trials, hardship, disappointment, futility, and desperation mark our sojourn under the sun, even if we live for 70 or 80 years. And the longer we live, the more we can nod our heads with Moses to the intellectual truth of this statement. So pressed is Moses on this issue that he cries out to God in verse 12 to implore him to teach us to number our days, to become truly wise in seeking and grasping salvation before life is over in a flash. Isn't it ironic that we need to be taught the obvious? We know as self-evident that every one of us will die, and yet we all treat life in the main as if we were immortal. In this deluded state, we count and measure just about everything else. The stars, atoms in a grain of salt, grandchildren, words in manuscripts, distinctions on reports, money in the bank, rows of knitting, likes on our Facebook page, microliters of blood, and viruses in microliters of blood. But not what matters most in the context of eternity, our days. And even if we do reckon our days, we often forget that not even one more hour is guaranteed to us anyway. The youth believe they are bulletproof, and the older generations live as if death happens to other people, unless God intervenes. I cannot say it better than Spurgeon, who writes on this verse, "Men are led by reflections upon the brevity of time to give their earnest attention to eternal things. They become humble as they look into the grave which is soon to be their bed. Their passions cool in the presence of mortality, and they yield themselves up to the dictates of unerring wisdom. But this is only the case when the Lord Himself is the teacher. He alone can teach to real and lasting profit. It is most meet that the heart which will soon cease to beat should, while it's moving, be regulated by wisdom's hand. A short life should be wisely spent. We have not enough time at our disposal to justify us in misspending a single quarter of an hour. Neither are we sure of enough life to justify us in procrastinating for a moment. If we were wise in heart, we should see this. But mere head wisdom will not guide us aright. It has to be a wisdom which immediately submits with an awesome reverence to the eternal God." Having called out to God in earnest in the desert night against the backdrop of his mortality, Moses takes up the second theme of the psalm and recognizes the third point I want to highlight. He appeals to another of God's fundamental or essential natures, God's steadfast love. You can see this in verse 14. This is the chesed that Pastor Clinton has emphasized a number of times in the sermon series on 1 Samuel in the last few months of lockdown. Confident of God's chesed, his steadfast love, Moses beseeches God for pity, gracious favor, a fresh outpouring of rejoicing and gladness, and a revealing of God's glorious power to the present generation and the generation to come. He pleads with God to establish or bring to successful outcome the work of their hands. And we know, as a matter of history, that God honored the prayer of his faithful servant. He displayed his glorious power exactly as he promised he would. The generation of Israel that rose up after the judgment in the desert went on to take the promised land and become one of the godliest in the history of Israel under the leadership of Joshua. How fitting is this prayer in the days that we are living in now? The mortality of this generation is brought into stark relief in the face of the COVID pandemic. The global chaos of nations, politics, and economics could not be more reminding of the withering limitations of our finite lives outside of God in the face of his wrath against sin. And the eternal nature of our accountability to him is written intrinsically on our hearts. Let us plead with Moses in prayer that God will teach us to number our days. And then, having gained a heart of wisdom by dealing with the most important thing first in finding complete and secure salvation in the eternal Jesus, may we approach his throne of grace to establish our families, our homes, our work, businesses, future, and our eternal dwelling place, both for us and for our children. He is sure to hear us, as he heard Moses, because he is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen, and have a wonderful day.